Welcome to Investigative Post's Campaign Notes. I'm Jeff Kelly, government and politics reporter with Investigative Post. And Brian Nowak is a Cheektowaga Town board member. He's just finishing his first term and seeking a second term in November. He is also a proud Democratic Socialist, perhaps the only elected official in Western New York to wear that label. Buffalo mayoral candidate India Walton is also a self-proclaimed Democratic Socialist. So we're talking to Brian about what that means.
Brian, so particularly during this mayoral campaign, this has really sort of brought a focus on this term, this political philosophy, democratic socialism. There has been over the summer kind of a fear campaign being waged by Mayor Byron Brown and surrogates and supporters who are trying, it seems, to strike fear in the hearts of Buffalo voters about India Walton and her intentions. You're a democratic socialist, right? Would you describe yourself that way?
In terms of my political philosophy, yes.
What does that mean?
It depends on the person you ask. The short, all-encompassing answer is it's economic democracy, it's social democracy, it's a deep commitment to democracy. The long answer is a little bit more complicated, a little bit more nuanced. It depends on the people you ask. Our country's got a long history of socialist thinking and a socialist tradition. There have been plenty of folks that have been elected to state and local office who were democratic socialist or members of the Socialist Party even. It's a fascinating thing. You can argue this goes back to the American Revolution with Thomas Paine's essay, Agrarian Justice. We could talk about Abraham Lincoln reading Karl Marx's essays in the New York Tribune, and then Eugene Debs' presidential runs, the three socialist mayors in Milwaukee, and there's so much more history to lean on and so many more examples of the things they stood for and the accomplishments that elected socialists have achieved.
Well, let's in fact talk about those accomplishments, those legacies of democratic socialism.
The second of the three socialist mayors in Milwaukee is a fascinating case study. One of the first municipal, maybe the first municipal street lighting project came out of Milwaukee. Public sewer systems, public water treatment. Hone in the city of Milwaukee bought the waterfront and made that publicly available. You can trace the expansion of old age pensions and in the Social Security program to the socialist in Wisconsin, along with some other folks that were helping to shape the New Deal. Even getting into the New Deal, without the political left or the socialist of that day, a lot of that wouldn't have happened. That was some of the programs there with Social Security program and, you know, all the alphabet programs. These were brainchilds of folks within the socialist movement. You know, some of those ideas grew out of the Eugene Debs platform from 1912 and even earlier. It's just they were ideas whose time had come.
So parks, sewers, roads, even highways, even the federal highway system.
I would say all of that. I think you can look to, interestingly enough, you can look to the red states and Trump's America for a lot of the things that socialist-minded or democratic socialist-minded folks would want to see. In terms of national, you know, widespread programs. Chattanooga, Tennessee is a direct internet provider. It's publicly owned internet. North Dakota has a public bank. They offer some of the lowest rates on student loans. State of Nebraska, almost every single person there gets their power from a public power district. The rates are lower than the private companies. We've got the Erie County Water Authority here in New York. Utah tried a housing first approach to end homelessness. In Alaska, you know, the People's Republic of Alaska, they've got the Alaska Permanent Fund, which pays out basically a universal basic income to every man, woman, and child in the state. So it's not so much that these are blue state, red state things. A lot of this stuff, it's just good government. It's just the public sector providing better quality goods at a lower cost. You're seeing this in the red states. In the case of Chattanooga, they've got basically the fastest internet speeds in the United States. Comcast isn't providing that. Time Warner's not providing that. The city of Chattanooga is doing that directly for their residents.
So a lot of the demonization of democratic socialists certainly comes from the far right. That's kind of natural, but also from mainstream Democrat. And that's sort of a political thing, right? You've had increasingly in the last few years, mainstream Democrats threatened by primary challenges from the left, including from democratic socialists. What is the difference between mainstream Democrats, the way their politics, the way they govern, as opposed to DSA candidates or Working Families Party candidates? these challenges that are coming from the left?
I think there's some social and cultural issues that are coming up that are part of the division, and that gets you immigration and things like abortion rights and climate change, which is a critical issue. And I don't mean to put that in the same type of basket, but some of the more divisive issues that are driving Democratic primaries, and in those sense, the party's moving to the left. But on an economic front, government transparency, good government, you get into things like looking at neoliberal or globalization and privatization over the last 40, 45 years. You know, there have been cities and states that have moved to privatize some of their public water supplies, and they've come to regret that. You know, and that's not just the right wing or Republicans doing that. There are elected Democrats that have supported those efforts too, and that's just not working out. And you can get into all these other examples where you've got some municipalities. Cheektowaga is an example. We own our garbage trucks directly. We hire the labor directly rather than hiring a private garbage contractor. You look for the growth of the costs of collecting garbage for folks in the towns in the last 10 years. And compared to the growth in costs for private contractors, Cheektowaga has done a better job controlling its costs, and they've grown slower. So it's a realization, I think, for some of these DSA folks, a good portion of them, that the public sector can just do some things cheaper, faster, better across the board, that privatization isn't always the answer when you're looking to, quote unquote, lower taxes or try to offload some of the things that the government has to do. You know, if we were to privatize sanitation in the town of Cheektowaga, we'd be at the mercy of two or three companies that collect garbage. There's basically a monopoly there. Basically got a monopoly in providing internet. And when it comes to public power, you know, if Nebraska privatized their public power district, how many companies are really going to come in and give them competition? You don't have competition in those kind of things. It's a recognition of natural monopolies and that the government can do this better than for-profit businesses.
Presumably, garbage collectors you employ in the town of Cheektowaga have better pay and benefits than those employed by the two or three private companies that dominate municipal garbage pickup.
I would say between pay and benefits, yeah.
Let's talk about Cheektowaga for a second. You are most likely going to be elected to your second term in November, correct?
Yeah, I'll be on the ballot in November, and I'm doing everything I got to do in terms of campaigning for a second term.
Tell me about your path into politics. You are a Democratic Socialist in a town that is certainly Democratic for the most part, but rather conservative. So I'm interested to hear about how you became involved in politics and how you ended up in the office you hold now.
Well, I got involved because of the Sanders presidential campaigns. He was somebody that I was following going back to his time in the House of Representatives right when he got elected to the U.S. Senate. And it's kind of a fascinating thing. How does somebody with an unusual political philosophy get elected statewide? You know, what I knew about U.S. history to that point was socialists didn't get elected, socialists didn't get power. And the more I've paid attention to Senator Sanders over the years, he was pragmatic. I saw him as a pragmatic man that was really trying to improve the standard of living for working class people. You know, I don't own a factory. You know, I don't have an independent wealth fund that that I live off of. I got to go to work every day. The biggest thing that worries me and is driving me to do the work that I'm doing is the growth of wealth and income inequality in the country. You've got a situation where basically two to three people control half of the wealth in America. It's not sustainable. That's the kind of stuff that led to the French Revolution. But I got interested in the Sanders campaign and got involved there and ended up becoming pretty much a lead organizer for that back in 2016. And obviously you get in politics and helping other candidates. You're like, you know, I think I could do this too. I would like to do this too. And, you know, not too far after the end of that campaign, we had a Democratic primary for council in the town of Cheektowaga where there's basically going to be no competition. And I knew that primary decides who gets elected. And like, let's give the voters a choice. So I was like, let's give this a go. It'd be nice to get involved and get somebody new on the board to take a different perspective to some of these things. Because I was worried about budget cuts, cutting youth funding, not funding the parks properly and those kind of things. And so I ran. And to my surprise, I came in first in the primary. I went out and talked to all the folks that I could. I listened to them. I talked with them. Some of them told me they disagreed with things like, for example, a single-payer healthcare program. Talked with one individual for a while, said, I don't agree with you on this. I think it's a bad idea, but I'll vote for you. They just liked that somebody came and talked to them and found some common ground with them. After that, I got involved in the work on the board, and the huge bulk of what I've done is just constituent services, dealing with the issues of the day and trying to do the best that I can with whatever issue comes before us, to not think of it in rigid philosophical terms, but pragmatically, what are we dealing with here? What's the best outcome we can get, and to try to get to a majority to vote to solve those problems?
That's the thing about governance, isn't it? As opposed to politics, running for office, governance is really problem solving. I mean, you may be pulled in toward one solution over another because of your political philosophy, but in the end, you're looking for a solution that works.
Right. And you take the issue of housing, and this is something that I'm going to have to deal with in the city of Buffalo, and I'm sure India Walton is going to be working on. You know, the town doesn't have an endless piggy bank to just build a whole thousands of housing units and make sure that that serves all of Western New York. We've got private developers that are interested in doing that work. It's just when you get into the nuance of the kind of projects they want to build, is there enough green space? Are they paying their actual cost of the project instead of pretty much saying, build whatever you want. We turn a blind eye. And if you need us to shoulder some of the costs of improving sewers and these kind of things, we're just going to do it. You know, it's not rolling over and dying for the developers. It's holding them accountable and working with them as equal partners.
If India Walton is elected in November, what kind of institutional resistance do you think she might encounter? When you walked into Cheektowaga Town Hall, did your political philosophy create barriers?
It took a little bit of time to gain the trust of a couple folks that were on the board, because, you know, during campaign season, rumors go around. So people heard that I hated the cops and stuff like that, which is not the case. So it took some time to build relationships with people that all they heard was the rumor. But, you know, one of my closest colleagues on the board is somebody that is relatively conservative. And he concedes, I've heard all this stuff about you. I've never seen it, you know, but we get along really well in terms of problem solving every day. But I think for India, it's going to be a whole different ballgame. I mean, the race was much higher profile. You're talking about a larger budget. You're talking about bigger political players. And she's going to be filling a power vacuum in a much different way than I did. It's apples and oranges, really. So I would expect she's going to deal with a situation more like Mayor Sanders did, where he walked in the door and they wouldn't even let him keep his own secretary. They fought him every which way they could until he, between elections and building coalitions, he got a city council there that he could work with.
And probably worth noting, a sponsor in the private sector who was a right-leaning real estate developer with whom he eventually became a working partner.
In the Sanders case, one of the things that got him over the top, he won that race by 10 votes. He got the endorsement of the Burlington PBA at the time, the Blue Collar Police Union. What you hear the phrase socialism and you think of Bernie Sanders, like, of course the police would never support him. But from Bernie's mind, you know, the police officers were working people too, and there were things that they needed in terms of pay and benefits and good working conditions. And he was committed to making sure that happened for them. And I think India is going to be much more of a pragmatist than her critics or the people afraid of her are thinking right now. She's not going to go in there and seize people's homes. To her mind, that's not socialism. I couldn't point to a single socialist that wants to take somebody's private residence away from them. At its most extreme, it's public ownership of the means of production. It's not public ownership of every single house. You know, it's not communism. It's a different thing. So I think some of the folks that are worried about how the direction she's going to take the city, I don't think they have much to worry about. You know, there's a city council still that she's going to have to work with. And some of the big things she wants to take care of are, I think they're practical issues, where you just need a different approach to dealing with them. You can't do these things piecemeal and just subsidize rich people anymore to do it. Direct government intervention, direct government spending could lead to better outcomes and get you a better bang for your buck. You see this in the Nebraska Public Power District, Erie County Water Authority. You look at the water authorities compared to private water companies, the rates are lower for public water. I mean, you just go through all these examples. So I think that's the kind of thinking that India will be bringing in, that it's not the private sector that's going to solve every problem. There's going to be a time and a case where a tax increase and an investment to solve a problem is going to be the best way to deal with something.
And that's Campaign Notes for today. I'm Jeff Kelly with Investigative Post. Check back at investigativepost.org for our regular coverage of campaign issues, and issues of importance to Western New York.